Welcome to Torah Simecha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Foxbrenner, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu Perek Mem Dalet, Yeshayahu chapter 44. This chapter begins with the word Ve'ata, and now, clearly connecting it to the last chapter. Some commentaries, like Rashi, see this as a chronological progression. The purpose of the rebuke that ended the last chapter is so that the people change their ways. So we should do so as a response, and thus the comfort will begin. Radak sees this as being similar to juxtapositions that we have seen before, that even though Hashem has rebuked us in the last chapter, he follows with comfort to let us know that despite his rebuke, we are not lost. This is indicated in the first two verses in which we are called Avdi, Hashem's servant. It is not uncommon for a master to rebuke a servant. His hope is that the servant will learn from the rebuke and change, and thus will be welcomed back with open arms. This is the case here. But hear now, Jacob my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Hashem chose us, that does not change. What must change is our behavior. And the Navi continues in verse 2, Ko amar Hashem osecha viyotzrecha mi beten yazrecha. Thus said Hashem, your maker, your creator, who has helped you since birth. I have helped you and formed you since the womb. The womb here, as in many places, can refer to exile. This is a place of constriction and confinement, but that is meant to help us grow and develop. As we know, the original exile in Egypt was called the Kor HaBarzel, the iron furnace, a place where we were purified due to hardships. Hashem tells us that he was there with us, is there with us in exile. And that is what is indicated to us at the end of the verse, Al tira avdi Yaakov, Yeshurun bacharti bo. Fear not, my servant Jacob, Yeshurun that I have chosen. Yeshurim is a name that's given to the Jewish people at their best. They are upright and straight from the root Yashar. When we do live up to that name and we fulfill our purpose in being Avdi, my servant, Hashem's servants, then what happens? Verse 3, Ki etzak mayim al tamei v'nozlim al yabasha, even as I pour water on thirsty soil and rain upon dry ground, I will pour my spirit on your offspring, my blessing upon your posterity. This refers either to spiritual or physical plenty. This is similar to what we saw in chapter 42, that water is a sign of plenty and life source. And they will sprout like grass, like willows near streams. According to some, this is a reward for the righteous. According to others, it is a prediction of what will happen to all of us. Not that the just will receive reward, but that we will flourish and that we will become righteous and develop spiritually. The redemption is not just a time of reward to those who do good, but as we have seen before, a time when we can all grow spiritually because those things holding us back will disappear and Hashem's presence will be so obvious. Ze yomar laHashem ani, v'ze yikra b'shem Yaakov, v'ze yichtov yado laHashem, u'v'shem Yisrael yichana. One will say, I am Hashem's. Another will use the name of Yaakov. Another will mark his arm of Hashem and adopt the name Yisrael. Different sections of the Jewish people will proclaim their recognition of Hashem in different ways. But the point of this pasuk is that they will all do so. The rest of this chapter focuses on the falsehood that is the world of idol worship, which is all in the Jewish people's hands to change. It begins, as always, with a proclamation of Hashem's oneness and individuality as the only God, because what is significant here is not the futility of idols, but the supremacy of God. Ko amar Hashem melech Yisrael v'goalo. Thus says Hashem, the King of Israel and their Redeemer, Hashem Tzvakos, the Lord of Hosts. Ani Rishon va'ani Acharon. I am the first and I am the last. Umi biladai in Elohim. And there is no God but me. In support of this claim, Hashem challenges the idols to predict the future in order to prove their divinity. Obviously, only he can do this. This is similar to the argument between Hashem and the nations of the world in chapter 41, Perek Mem Aleph. Because this is obviously a futile request, Hashem uses this as a springboard for consolation to the Jewish people, as we see in verse 8. Al tifchadu v'al tiru, halo me'az hishmaticha, do not be frightened, do not be shaken. Have I not from old predicted this to you? Although the exile is coming because of your idol worship, you do not need to be afraid once you are in exile, because I told you it was coming, so you will know that just as that prophecy has been fulfilled, so too will be the prophecies of the redemption. But unfortunately, we return to the main subject, which is that of idolatry. In verse 9, Yotrei Pesel Kulam Tohu, V'chamudehem Bal Yo'ilu. Makers of idols all work to no purpose, and the things they treasure can do no good. Ve'edehem Hema Bal Yer'u Uval Yedu Laman Yevoshu. And as they themselves can testify, they neither look nor think, and so they will be shamed. Idols themselves are the evidence in the court case. There is no intricate argument required. Mi'atzar El U'Pesel Nasach Levilti Ho'il. Who would fashion a god or cast a statue that can do no good? The Mahari Kra reads this pasuk a little differently. Mi'atzar el u'pesel nasach, whoever it is that creates the idol, levilti ho'il, should know better than anyone that it cannot help or affect change. This is something that is so obvious and so clear that when the time comes to answer for their actions, as it says in verse 11, kol chavirav yevoshu v'charashim heima ma'adam. All its adherents shall be shamed. They are craftsmen, merely human. Yitkabtsu kulam yamodu yifchadu yevoshu yachad. Let them all assemble and stand up. They should all be embarrassed, and they will all be shamed. They will react as a child when he knows he has done something wrong. They will no longer turn to the idol and ask for help. The futility will be so clear to them, they will just lower their heads in shame. And yet now, they work so hard to build and maintain their idols. As it says in verse 12, Gam ra'ev ve'en koach, lo shata mayim ve'ya'af. They are hungry and they have no strength. They drink no water and they grow faint. And yet despite this illogical betrayal of God, we see in verse 14, Lichros lo arazim ve'ikach tirza ve'alon. For his purpose to fashion idols, idol worshiper cuts down cedars. He chooses trees and oaks. Vayamat lo ba'atayar. He makes those idols strong with trees of the forest. Nata oren, or he plants firs. Vigeshem yigadal. And the rain makes them grow. The rain makes them grow. Of course the rain makes them grow. Why does the Navi mention this? Because Hashem provides the rain to make the trees grow, despite the betrayal for which they are used. Navi continues with what seems to be an incomprehensible foolishness on the part of the worshipper, and says poetically, V'haya la'adam leva'er, v'yikach mehem, v'yacham, af yasik, v'afa lachem. And this serves man for fuel. He takes some to warm himself, and he builds a fire and bakes bread. Af yifal el, v'yishtachu, asahu pesel, v'yisgad lamo. He also makes a god out of it, and bows to it, fashions an idol, and prostrates himself. The idol worshiper takes the same material, uses half of it to serve himself, to bake bread, to make a fire, and then uses the rest to make a god. Tzio saraf b'mo'esh al chetzio basar yochel, yitzletzali v'yizba, af yachom. Part of it he burns in fire, on that part he roasts meat. He eats the roast and is satiated. He also warms himself. V'yomar ha'ach hamosi ra'isi ur. And he says, I am warm, I can feel the heat. Eiriso le'el asa le'pislo. Of the rest of it, he makes a god, his own carving. Yisgad lo v'yishtachu, v'yispale'el elah v'yomer, hatileni ke'ili ata. He bows down to it, worships it. He prays to it and cries, save me, for you are my God. He is pleased with his industriousness. He used the same piece of wood for two purposes. Meanwhile, anyone looking from the outside can see the absurdity. Lo yadu v'lo yavinu ki tach maros anyehem mehaskil libosam. They don't know and they don't understand. Eyes are smeared from seeing and from understanding. V'lo yashiv el libo v'lo das v'lo tfuna lemor chetzio sarafti b'mo'esh v'af afisi al gechalav lechem et lebasar v'ochal. They do not give thought. They lack the judgment to say, part of it I burned in fire, and I also baked bread on it. I roasted meat, and I ate it. V'yisro l'so'eva eseh, l'vul eitz esgod. Should I make the rest into an abhorrence? Should I bow to a block of wood? Verse 20, Ro'e efer lev hutal hitahu, v'lo yatzil et nafsho. He pursues ashes. A deluded mind has set him astray, and he cannot save himself. V'lo yomar, halo sheker b'yemini. And he never says to himself, this thing in my right hand is false. Let us pause for a moment. We are speaking about the obvious foolishness of idolatry, a sin in which the Jews of the First Temple period were immersed and for which they are continually rebuked. Ultimately, the First Temple is destroyed partially because of this. We have a basic understanding that there was an inclination toward idol worship that was eventually destroyed, and therefore we can't understand it. But still, in this section, the prophet continually ridicules the service of idols as an incomprehensible ridiculousness. What does this mean? The Navi even says in verse 18 that they are blinded, that they cannot see the foolishness and evil of what they were doing. So were they responsible for their actions? And the answer, of course, is that while we don't understand the desire for this specific sin, the Jewish people were blinded in a way that we also are blinded to the actions in which we are immersed. The blindness is a result of multiple bad choices that they made when they did have the potential for clarity and proper behavior. And the message that we can take for ourselves is that our own sins are just as absurd when seen without the blindness of desire. And so the Navi turns to us and begs us not to be so foolish. In verse 21, Zchor ele Yaakov v'Yisrael, ki avdi ata. Remember these things, Jacob, for you, Israel, are my servant. Ticha aved li, ata Yisrael, lo tinashani. I fashioned you to be my servant. Do not ever forget me. Machisi cha'av psha'echa v'cha'anan chatosecha. I will wipe away your sins like a cloud, your transgressions like mist. Shuve elai ki gal ticha. Come back to me, for I redeem you. The redemption here is automatic. The moment you return to me, you are redeemed, because, as we have seen throughout, the ultimate purpose of redemption is that closeness to Hashem. This is a verse that we repeat many times on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, to encourage us that repentance will work. We are not so affected by our transgressions as to be irredeemable. And the result will be, verse 23, Ranu shamayim ki asa Hashem, hariu tachtios aretz, tzchu harim rina, ya'ar v'chol etzbo. Shout heavens, for Hashem has acted. Shout loud, depths of the earth. Shout for joy, mountains, forest, with all your trees. Ki gal Hashem Yaakov v'Yisrael yispa'ar. For Hashem has redeemed Jacob, he has glorified himself through Israel. And suddenly it will become clear that Hashem is one. May fer osos badim v'kos miholal. Referring to Hashem, the verse says, he who annuls the magicians and the fortune tellers. Like we have seen until now, those things that are clearly perilous will be exposed. That is not all. The verse concludes, May shiv chachamim achor v'da'atam yisakal. Also is the one who turns wise men back and makes nonsense of their knowledge. Those who rely exclusively on their wisdom and think that it is only logic and worldly wisdom that predicts the future, they will be turned back. Mikim devar avdo confirms the word of his student, v'atzas malachav yashlim, and fulfills the prediction of his messengers. Ha'omer li Yerushalayim tushav ulare Yehuda tibanena arvoseha akomam. It is I who say of Yerushalayim, it will be inhabited, and of the towns of Yehuda, they will be rebuilt, and I will restore their ruined places. The juxtaposition of this to the rebuke about idolatry is telling. We laugh at those who worshipped wood, which is justified, as the Navi ridicules them as well. But the Navi continues and tells us the day will come when wise men that we thought of as all-knowing will be proven wrong. It is illogical and unscientific that Hashem will save the Jewish people and return them to their land. But it will happen because the predictions of my prophets are stronger and more meaningful than any outside wisdom. And this chapter ends with a foreshadow to the next one about the building of the second temple. Omer lechorish ro'i v'chochev tzi yashlim. He, Hashem, is the same one who sends of Cyrus. He is my shepherd. He shall fulfill all my purposes. V'leimor liyushalayim tibane v'heichal tibasad. And he shall say of Yerushalayim, she shall be rebuilt, and to the temple you shall be founded again. Hashem, whose predictions are the only ones that count, will say to Cyrus that he should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, he shall rebuild the temple, and again make Jerusalem a place of happy dwelling. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.